Welcome back to Too Long, Did Read It, everyone's favorite hike into the unexplored terrain, caves, sheds that haven't been looked at in years, also rocks that need to be turned over to see who's hiding underneath of Reddit.
Who's hiding underneath a rock?
Voles.
Voles.
I don't really know what a vole looks like, but I bet they're cute.
I was about to say, are they cute?
You know what I'm obsessed with is possums.
Okay, a vole is really cute. Okay, it's really cute. I love a tiny mouse. Okay, no, big fan.
Oh, so cute.
Big fan.
Wow. I would not mind finding a vole under my rock, if you know what I mean.
I don't, okay. What? Was that a euphemism?
Nope, I meant it very literally.
I love mice.
They're so cute.
They're so freaking cute. You know, I had a pet rat. I've talked about
yes.
This.
Did you name it Ben?
Why? Like with, what's his face? Crispin Glover, that movie.
I just know that and the Jackson 5 sang a little song about it.
Right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. It's a movie with Crispin Glover and a rat. Am I wrong about this?
Ratatouille?
No.
Willard. Sorry, Willard is the movie with Crispin Glover and a rat. I'm sure a lot of you people were screaming that at your
phone. No. But where Willard ends, Ben begins. It's the sequel.
Ben is the sequel.
Yes.
Ben rat movie.
Okay, is this one of those things where Allison should know this and it's weird I don't? Or is this a weird thing that the two of you happen to know?
No, it's a weird thing that we know.
It happened years before we were born.
1972. Okay. It's a weird series of films that I don't think there's any reason you would know, Allison.
Yeah, and I just know it because the Jackson 5 sang a song called Ben about this little rat.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And Willard is not the rat. Willard is Crispin Glover, the guy. And the rat is named Ben in the series. Oh, and also, I'm so sorry. Bruce Davison played in the original Willard from 1971. I am referring to the 2003 remake of Willard starring Crispin Glover. My apologies.
Is the rat animated or a puppet?
No, he's a rat.
A real rat?
Yes.
Wow. And then you can hear it talk like voiceover?
I don't know anything about that.
I don't either. Oh.
I don't know. Only thing I know about this is the song that Michael Jackson sang.
I'm sorry.
I never heard of Willard. I just know Ben was a rat, and it was from a movie that Michael Jackson sang about.
I'm looking at Crispin Glover's Wikipedia page because I'm like, what has he been up to? And this is very interesting, and I would like your opinions on this, both of you.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Hold on. Not about him. George from Back to the Future. Okay, ready? Back to the Future Part 2 lawsuit. In Back to the Future Part 2, Robert Zemeckis reused brief footage of Glover that had been filmed for the first film. Glover was billed as George McFly in footage from Back to the Future in the closing credits. The older footage was combined with new footage of actor Jeffrey Weissman wearing a false chin, nose, cheekbones, and various obfuscating methods in the background, wearing sunglasses, rear shot, upside down, to play George McFly. Because these methods suggested that Glover himself had performed in the film, he successfully sued the producers on the grounds that they had used his likeness without permission, as well as not paying him for the reuse of the footage from the original film. The case was resolved outside of court, and Glover was awarded $760,000. As a result of the lawsuit, clauses in the SAG collective bargaining agreements now state that producers and actors are not allowed to use such methods to reproduce the likeness of other actors, effectively putting the end to decades-long use of the quote-unquote fake Shemp technique among living actors. Despite not setting a legal precedent, the lawsuit is often evoked in cases for actors involving the misuse of their likeness through digital recreation and other technological methods to replicate their appearance without their permission. Very relevant to the strike.
I was about to say, how does this, it seems like the stuff for AI is already in there.
Yeah, but I think maybe it didn't fully go into AI. But, this has been a problem for, I guess, a really long time.
I don't understand why he wasn't recast in the second one.
Money, probably.
Yep.
Wow. And then they ended up having to pay him anyway.
Yeah, almost $1 million.
Yeah, so they paid probably an extra, right, to put on the prosthetics.
They must have.
Instead
yeah,
of paying for the full, for the actor, which would have been much more money.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't have any lines?
No.
They said it was in the background.
I can see an argument where you're like, well, you filmed for the, you filmed for this first one. So you probably signed something that said we have the right to reuse, reusing footage from an old, from the old film. I can understand. I don't like reusing stuff that wasn't in the old film, like deleted footage. I don't like that. But I think if you're like, it's a flashback. Okay, fine. You, maybe you don't have to pay them. But anything, any footage that is new footage, any footage that you're showing them differently or in another light or anything, that you gotta, that's unethical. That you gotta pay for.
Well, I'm glad he sued and he won.
Me too.
I'm excited to know about this legal precedent just because we brought up Ben and Willard.
Well, it started with the rat.
Bowls.
Hi everyone, Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment and she's like, where did you come from? And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something, and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com. TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code Just Between Us.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today. Speaking of animals, our first Reddit post ties into the theme.
Okay.
And it is from Relationship Advice, an oldie but a goodie. And OP writes, I think my 30 female naked impression of a rhino has given my girlfriend 33 female the ick. Oh, how do I come back from this?
I am seated. Let's go.
Okay. OP writes, I woke up to a chilly morning today and beelined to the shower, wanting to warm up as fast as possible. I turned the water on, stripped down, and put my hand out to feel if it had heated up yet. It had not. In order to conserve heat, like the knowledgeable survivalist I am, I thought it was wise to crouch down into a ball to minimize my surface area and to keep reaching into the shower occasionally to see if the water was warm. So far, no flaws in the logic.
Okay.
Now, ordinarily, I don't mind when my girlfriend comes into the bathroom if I'm in the shower because it's all very expected and normal. I'll be showering upright, she'll have a little tinkle, and everyone retains their dignity.
Okay.
But today was not an ordinary day.
Oh, no.
While she had woken up and pursued her regular routine, I'd awoken and chosen Gollum. She walked in, sat on the loo, and then saw me, a squat, corrupted flesh sphere, splashing in the shallow end of the shower tray. I saw myself through her eyes, and a shiver ran through me. However, I saw a way out. Comedy. I remember a tweet I had never thought about until I found myself in this position and decided to pass it off as my own. I asked her, do you ever get on all fours in the shower and pretend to be a rhino, moaning pleasurably in the first rains of the year?
What are you, a poet? What are you, a poet? Did you write Africa by Toto? What is this?
This is all very poetically written, so.
It is. It's a good writer.
Before she had time to tell me that, no, that's unusual, I doubled down. I crawled into the shower and mooed enthusiastically like a grateful little rhinoceros. I saw something die in her eyes. She flushed and walked out of the bathroom. We both finished getting ready, avoiding eye contact, and left for work. How do I come back from this and rescue my image as a being with an ounce of sexuality and dignity?
This is a very funny first one. You sound like a keeper, OP. If she doesn't appreciate you, find a game warden who will.
Why did you strip down naked before testing the water is my problem with the post.
Oh, that's interesting.
She said that she stripped down and then tested the water.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that is weird.
I really resonate with something, which is that when you appeal undesirable to your partner to lean heavily into comedy, that is a classic go-to Allison move in this house. Often when I have the burps or have to do something just blatantly unattractive due to one of my various injuries or issues, you have to milk it. Because if you can get them laughing, they're going to remember that you made them laugh, not what you looked like.
Wow. You know, people don't always remember your name, but they remember how you made them feel as you threw up onto right? their lap. I am guilty of taking my clothes off before going into the shower because I think I'm just scattered. And so I'll like remember tasks, but like not in order. So like I kind of oftentimes will like put the water in before the you know, like I'll do stuff that's like out of order sometimes just from like being like brain scattered. So I'll be like, okay, I have to shower. The steps of shower are clothes off, water on, you know, put soap in, whatever. Like put the face wash from the you know, from the sink to the move it to the shower, whatever it is. But like I'll do stuff out of order. So I have been guilty of like, fuck, I'm cold and naked and I haven't turned the water on yet. That is a reasonable thing.
I always take my clothes off before I go into the bathroom because my hamper is in my bedroom. So I always am entering into the bathroom to have a shower already totally naked.
I don't sleep in clothes, so I'm already naked too.
Wow.
Right.
I sleep fully covered.
Wait, so neither of you guys, like if you get changed or dressed, you don't have your clothes on the floor?
Ew.
My clothes are already off. Like they've already been. After I take my clothes off?
Yeah, like when you get home, you take your clothes off. You don't like have sometimes like your pants on the bathroom floor or something?
Not in the bathroom. Maybe in my bedroom. But then they go in the hamper.
Over a chair.
I put them in the hamper. Sometimes actually I'll like take a sports bra off in the living room.
Ooh. Spicy. That's the sort of stuff that can go on your OnlyFans.
If I'm coming from the airport, as soon as I walk in, I'm naked. I got to get out of them clothes real fast.
You got to get them out and you got to put them in the wash.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. put my...
And then you just get right in the shower.
Yes, I
know
do.
That. Even I know that for myself.
I usually order some food on the way home, get home, strip, put them in the washer, get in the shower, then put some clothes on and then go to the door. My food's there.
Wow.
Perfect system.
That is a great system.
I found out something horrifying, which is that I thought that people couldn't see into my house on account of there being a gate.
Oh, no. You can see straight into your house.
What?
You can see in your house.
When the gate is up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about through the front door.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the window.
Well, anyway, I found out that at night you can see through the slits in the gate and see into my whole house, which is a real problem because I do a lot of chores naked.
I know. We know this about you.
Yeah.
So now I got to have the curtains down all the time.
But I'm saying I knew that if you looked through the gate, you could see into your window. I knew that.
I knew that too.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
I thought you knew.
Every weeknight, Melissa and I go and we stand outside your house with a bucket of popcorn and a pair of binoculars. And that's sort of what we do to bond.
Well, you can't see through it during the day.
No, I told you, Melissa and I are going every night. We set up chairs. Yeah, we set up chairs.
Eat our popcorn. We're like, there she goes. Look at
there
it.
She goes.
Clean the kitchen table.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you had to put money down on what I'm doing, cleaning is a good choice.
Yeah, you just go, oh my God, they really are doing it. How could they possibly know?
I realized in my kitchen, and also now that I'm thinking of it, you can probably see it in that big window in my living room too. I am also naked at home, and then I'll climb on my step stool. And when I'm up there, you can see straight into my house.
Nice. I'm so far in the back. Like, my apartment is way in the back. Yeah. So I'm largely hidden, which is great.
That's nice.
I mean, there's some, yeah. I can like look into a couple of the windows of like people, you know, like one person I like can see their cat, you know, in their little cat tree. But that's pretty much it. I'm extremely hidden in the back, which I really like.
I thought that I was. The other big issue that I try not to think about is that when our ADT was installed, the man was like, every time you walk by this console, it takes a photo of you.
What? What?
He was like, every time you walk past this console, it's recording you. And I walk past that thing naked constantly because I have to do the laundry. When you do laundry, you have to take all your clothes off so they go in the wash. Then you have to walk back to your bedroom naked. And a lot of times, because of the way my front door is, I will run like kind of hunched over into the bedroom. And so ADT has a lot of goods on me.
Wait, ADT
is... I don't feel like this is correct.
That can't be right.
That's what they told me.
Like the sensor?
Like the console, like the tablet that like kind of looks like an iPad, apparently is recording people whenever they walk in front of it. And I walk in front of it all the time.
This man, you know what? This man probably, because like, let me tell you, the BTK serial killer, he worked for ADT?
Why would you tell me that?
I don't know. Just telling you.
That not only am I being watched, but I'm being watched by serial killer.
ADT, the BTK worked for ADT, meaning that he got access to people's houses by being their alarm guy. So.
Wow. Okay.
Too gullible.
You just told me on a previous episode that I'm not gullible.
I have a camera set up like just to watch the door and stuff. And it has caught a lot of silly stuff. But I realized that on the app on my phone, I can talk through it. So like there was some like dodgeball tournament thing and Alex and Chris were like in the apartment and they were like changing to go to the next whatever. And I was at a party, but I could see them on my camera. So I was just like wolf whistling at them through the camera. Hey, boys, maybe aim it a little other way.
That feels very predatorial.
They knew the camera was there.
Yeah, they knew. But they weren't thinking that I was like actively looking at it. But it popped up and then I was just like, no, keep going. What are you guys doing?
It would be more predatorial if you didn't say anything.
Yeah, no, I just wolf whistled at him. And then I was like, I'm hitting record because it doesn't always record. So I was like, I'm going to hit record, guys.
That's
and
not okay.
Save. They said they knew.
But did they give consent for you to record?
Yes, afterwards.
I'm going to read the update to this post where OP writes, update, I showed her this post and it turned out she was so groggy first thing that she didn't even remember the Grateful Rhino bit. Thanks to everyone for being so kind and encouraging to build my confidence to circle back to it. Here's to many more rains.
That's what I was thinking. You think that sometimes you think things are about you or that something that you thought was like a big embarrassing thing the other person like wasn't even thinking about.
But the girlfriend also didn't wash their hands when they left the bathroom. So I had a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it and it's like, how could you possibly be in a long-term relationship with someone who couldn't handle you pretending to be a rhino in the shower?
That's what I'm saying. I was like, you have to meet people on your weird level. Like it's almost a litmus test. Like if you're with someone and you like, I love the part of the relationship where you've been dating long enough that you just start to get super weird.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like that's, and like, then you realize like, are we on the same level?
Well, I always try to figure out like when John knew how strange I was.
Sure.
At like what point did I reveal it? I think the first song I ever developed in our relationship was back in my old place where it was a song entitled World of Snacks. And it was when I would go get myself a snack from the cabinet. And it was like, welcome to the world of snacks, world of snacks, world of snacks.
And you sang that in front of him?
Yeah.
And did he like it?
I guess he married me.
That's true. So you think that was when he gave, that's when you gave away that you were weird?
I must have been, I mean, it was my first big song performance. And then there were all these rules about the world of snacks and if he was invited to the world of snacks.
Sure. One of my favorite bits that Carly and Robin, my friends Carly and Robin, do is called Dog University. And it's like that their dog is like the dean of a dog university. And then all of our friends' dogs have like parts in the university. Like Beans is a teacher or something. Like, so like they have this whole elaborate world that they said that they're a married couple that they spend time building together. And then they like let me know like Beans is part of Dog University. And I felt I was so honored.
Yeah, that is a big honor. We have a whole storyline about that. Have I told you this? That Sugar is Detective Woof Woof and
no
Phantom. Okay, so we have an elaborate story going where Sugar is Detective Woof Woof and she's the best detective out there, but she doesn't play by the rules. Sugar's boss is Sergeant Bow Wow, who's Phantom. But Phantom only got promoted to sergeant because he showed up every day and had the best attendance.
So Phantom is Sugar's boss? I don't buy that.
No, but purely due to good attendance, not skill set or talent.
That must be so frustrating to Sugar.
Yeah, she doesn't respect him.
I bet not.
Yeah.
Is there any way Phantom could earn her respect as a boss?
To let her do her own thing, to never enforce the rules.
I look forward to that growth and storyline. You know, where they learn to work together with each of their strengths.
Well, in terms of working together, that's a good transition because our next post is from Coworker Stories.
Okay.
Which is where you entertain us with stories of obnoxious, ridiculous, or insane people that you work with on a daily basis.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to join this.
What? Wait. Are you saying that against us?
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't have said. I meant like Schadenfreude, like to hear other people's stories. Because I love – my boyfriend tells me stories about his work. And I know everybody's names. And I could not tell you what they look like at all. But I know all their storylines. I know their names. I know what they do wrong. I can't believe that this person got moved to this thing. I've never seen these people.
Okay, well, OP writes, first orientation and my coworkers already shamed and laughed at me for my money habits. So just this week, I moved to a new city by myself. I'm adjusting to paying my own bills and finding financial responsibility for the first time in my life.
Work, babe.
Since I've never lived by myself, I'm trying to learn how to handle my new paycheck. Anyways, at orientation, I was filling out paperwork where I denied a bi-weekly donation of $15 from my paycheck. When my new coworker saw my paperwork where I denied the donation, she cracked a joke. Girl, you don't want to help feed the poor? A little goes a long way for them, you know. At the moment, all I could do was laugh, but I sat there thinking about it. $15 every 2 weeks really adds up. That's $390 a year.
Yeah.
I know it's not a lot in comparison, but who are they to tell me how to use my money? Or am I the asshole for denying donation? Mm-mm. I feel bad, but I keep thinking about how high the cost of living is in my area and if I could afford this. This same coworker also commented on how nice my new car was, which was a gift from my dad, but I feel like she was mocking me. Should I call her out or am I being dramatic?
No, not this being person's dramatic. A bitch. This person sucks.
The company is probably getting a tax write-off from this.
Yes.
You do not have to give to your company, like charity through your company. That's bullshit. The company should be giving the money to the charity. Should not be asking the employees to give money to the charity. That's garbage. They're guilting you and you don't need to do it. And it doesn't say anything about you being a good person at all. And also, can this nosy Miss fucking Peabody nosy business get out of your fucking let next time say, hey, Carol, why don't you know you like my new car? How about you stop riding my dick?
Okay.
I really like that. I really, really like that. I just want this person to be able to keep their job.
Hey, Carol, you want to drive to work riding my fucking dick?
Love it. But we want them to keep their job.
Yeah, but isn't a job kind of like prison where you have to like sort of show your dominance when you first get there?
No.
Yeah, but I think there's another way to say dick.
You go to your job and you got to assert dominance over this girl because otherwise it's going to be a years long process.
I agree with that.
You genuinely believe that when you get a new job, you have to show dominance?
You have to show that you're not a pushover and people can just say whatever they want to you. Because if they treat you like it's like a hazing phase and that's how they believe that you should be treated and you keep letting them do that, then they're just going to keep getting one over on you. So you have to show that you need to stand up to them and let them know that they can't like say shit like this to you.
She's testing you.
I love the idea of you getting a new audiobook directing job and showing up and coming in so hot to show dominance.
Oh, I do.
You do?
When I went to the Christmas party, a lot of these people, I've never seen their faces before. And so I was just going around introducing myself and then like seeing who I've actually worked with.
Oh, at the publisher Christmas party?
Uh-huh. And this one girl was like, "Oh, you're Melissa." And I was like, "What does that mean?" And she said, "When I work with you, we just get down to business. Like you, it's like we gotta go. But you make sure that you know your stuff. You're friendly, but you're still just like business. And then you're after we wrap, then you show that you're actually a nice person."
She said that to you. Yes.
And then we exchanged numbers and like we still chat, like we're liking each other on Instagram and stuff. So
that's so funny.
Listen, I agree. Melissa is right because you have to, and Melissa does this, or you have to set a boundary and you have to show them what you'll tolerate up top. Otherwise, they're going to be like, "Hey, pick up your phone at 7 p.m. Hey, like, do this little thing for me." No. Mm-hmm. Girl, you don't want to help feed the poor. A little goes a long way for them, you know. And I'd say, "Hey, I have a question. Do you know that because you're thirsty as fuck?"
What?
Yeah, because she's being thirsty.
Gabe, I feel like what you said would make more sense if it was like feeding the hungry instead of feeding the poor.
Yeah.
So that would be my note for the joke.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So it's like, okay, girl, you don't want to help feed the poor. A little goes a long way for them, you know. And then I could say, "I don't know. Do you know?"
I think we have to work on your comebacks.
Do you mean, or something like that she has like poor manners?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something. I mean, if that happened to me in real life, I would just be so like, I think I would be like frozen in like, discomfort and embarrassment, but also intense rage.
Oh, I'd be like, "Hey, why don't you mind your fucking business?"
You would not.
In your head.
At this point in my life, I think I would say it's none of your business.
Yeah, none of your business, but not fucking.
No, I think I would say it's none of your business.
Wow.
Or like, "Oh, that's a nice new car. Thanks, your husband bought it for me." Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, "JBU Instagram, have to post on social media." Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Let's move on to our next post, which is from the subreddit divorce_men.
Okay.
Which already I know that it should exist, but it does make me nervous.
Yeah, this one I was like, why are we here?
But it does say, it says, this sub is not pro-divorce, anti-women, anti-marriage, or anti-family. So that's what the original creator intended, but I think it got away from them. Because this post says, I think it's got to be a fake article, supposedly from the New York Times, that says, judge has nervous breakdown presiding over gay divorce case. Says that since both parties are men, he doesn't know whose life to ruin. And then it says legal precedent, giving the woman everything the man has and everything he ever will have isn't possible, resulting in legal impasse. What's wild is like people think like this.
The gendered aspect of divorce is antiquated. It is based on the idea that the man is the higher earner. It's based on the idea that the woman should care for the kids and should be taking care of the kids. And if the husband gets full custody, it means that something's so wrong with the woman. And like, there is a lot of gendered stuff that is like really fucked up about divorce. At the same time, like I would argue that from experience of seeing my mom, like legally, I think these men are a little misogynist.
A little?
A lot.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify for anyone that may be new here, Gabe's mom is a divorce lawyer.
Gabe's mom is a divorce and child custody attorney. Gabe retained a lawyer in order to deal with the breakup. So very familiar. We've done, I don't know, Melissa, what do you think? 99 Bad with Money episodes about divorce.
Who knows? A lot of them got taken down.
Okay, one of the comments, just to show sort of the vibe of this subreddit, is someone wrote, gay couples don't need to divorce because they are men based on biological aspect. Divorce comes from unreasonable expectation of women. Ha ha ha.
No.
Conclusion, any trouble to lead to divorce from women. Ha ha.
Oh my God. How did you find this subreddit?
I don't know. I just type in buzzwords and then try to find new subreddits. So I must have typed in divorce.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really hard to find new subreddits, I'll be honest with you. It's a struggle. But it's worth it. It's worth it for these laughs and these laughs and good times we have together.
I feel like I want to sing the graduation song by Vitamin C.
Okay, let's wrap this up with a Reddit or not. Whose turn is it? Either mine or Gabe's?
Allison.
Is my turn? Okay.
You usually go after me.
Ah. Oh, that's so smart to actually learn the order.
Yeah, because it started with you, and then Gabe did it, and then I did it, and that's what it is.
I was always like, how does she keep track of this? But that's actually
Sometimes I'm just throwing shit up in the air, and I'm like, it feels like it's this person, but I know that I just went, so typically it's your turn.
Okay, great. I will go with how to dress when you hate cotton.
Ooh. Cotton allergy.
Well, I didn't say that. I said hate cotton.
Okay. Is this for your personal purposes?
No, I actually really like cotton. It's
I was going to say, I feel like cotton is something you want.
Yeah. But that's why I'm wondering, maybe I'll stump it because maybe everyone likes cotton.
Well, no, because I immediately got in wilderness backpacking. Why do people hate on cotton?
It gets wet.
And then one bag, which is the name of a subreddit, it says, I understand why people hate cotton.
Why?
Okay. One bag, I'll tell you, I used to be a member. I think I still am. One bag is people who travel with only one bag. So they're like, it's giving tips on how to do that. It's giving like, they show how they pack stuff, what goes in their bag, how small can they make their one bag. It's very interesting.
So, but why do we think they hate cotton? Because it takes too long to dry or something?
Yes.
Or maybe ironing too.
Yeah.
Kind of wrinkled.
My, Alex is from, like Seattle area. And I had a jacket that I was wearing in the rain that I thought, yeah, it's just like a jacket. It has a hood. It's good enough. And he was like, it's not waterproof. And I was like, I just fine. I just need a hood. And he said that every article of clothing that exists should be waterproof. And there's no reason it isn't.
Well, because then you can't wear cotton.
Well, I think it's all, he's joking, but it's also a Pacific Northwest thing to be like, why would you own something that wasn't waterproof? That would be, yeah. That would be so dumb.
Because also, like, if you're sweating, it's uncomfortable if it's not cotton, because then it just rolls down instead of absorbing into the fabric.
Oh, that's a good point.
I exclusively wear polyester, and yeah, I'm sweating.
Well, what another incredible episode. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday with another full episode of Just Between Us, which you can access ad-free on patreon.com/justbetweenus, where you can get 8 ad-free episodes of this podcast for only $3 a month. You will also get video footage of this very show for $3 a month, so you can see the amount of times I yawned, not because I was bored, but because I feel so tired in my body. thank you all so much for listening. Ta-ta latitude.
Just Between Us is a Gallison production, hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabe Dunn.
Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions.
Edited by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
Join our Patreon to watch full episodes and listen ad-free. The link is in the description.
And make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit.